Welcome to the North Carolina Fusion for Life podcast, brought to you by Atrium Health Wake Forest Baptist. Our NC Fusion for Life podcast is focused on highlighting NC Fusion alumni. Since our mission is about creating intentional experiences through sport to positively impact people for life, we want to follow up with our former players and find out how those experiences are still impacting them today. We take time to discuss their sports journey, what they're doing now, and what lessons they've used from their sports journey to help them in the real world. Today, I'll be interviewing Wells Thompson. We hope you enjoy.
What's up, homie?
Hey, what's up, Wells? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Awesome, man. Thanks so much for being willing to be on our podcast. I know you're a busy dude. So,
you kidding me? What took you guys so long to invite me on? I've been waiting, and it is an honor and a blessing and a privilege.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you. Well, we're going to jump right into it. As we've talked about, you know, our NC Fusion for Life podcast is really about an opportunity to talk to our former players and hear about their journey, and then ultimately just talk about the things that you've learned through that journey that are now helping in the, quote, real world. So let's kick things off from your youth soccer and your career overall, because you've got quite an amazing story, and feel free to share, you know, memories, struggles, victories, all those things, and take as long as you need with that.
Yeah, man. So first of all, I actually did a video the other day. I was out at NCFC watching my oldest son play. I actually can't believe my kids play for NCSC, formerly Castle, because I hated them so much. And still think about driving an hour and a half every practice to come to Winston so I can play for the Fusion, the formerly Twins. But I did a video, just a short video, about those being the glory days. And so I was fortunate and blessed. I grew up in Twins, now Fusion, played there my whole entire life. Played collegially at Wake Forest University, the greatest ever, right? And then went on to have a good 9-year pro career. But when I think about the good old days or the glory days, I think about youth soccer, playing with your friends, you know, traveling to tournaments, getting into trouble together, you know, like that was those are the good old days, man. And honestly, I'm not kidding, when I go back to soccer, think about soccer, those are the things that I think about. So I have a very strange relationship with soccer, but I'm working on having a better relationship with soccer, and I'll explain what that means here in a little bit. My whole life, I just identified as a soccer player. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't really have an identity outside of the game. And so when I retired professionally at 32, I didn't really know who I was. And I actually, when I retired, I told God I never wanted anything to do with soccer again. Mm. No joke, right? The lesson in that is you never tell God never, because I'm back in it, you know?
Yeah.
And I just had this love, and have had this love-hate relationship with soccer for a while now. So I've been retired for about 8 years, and I really been working on it, man. The more that I think about it, I'm just so grateful for soccer. I'm so grateful for God giving me a passion for the game. It's the beautiful game for a reason. And when I really break it down, y'all, soccer has given me absolutely everything. Mm. And I'm so thankful for it. I'm so thankful I was able to play in college, play as a youth athlete, play professionally. There was a time in my youth, as I said, I got into a lot of trouble as a kid. So it was a time I wasn't sure. To back up here, hopefully I'm making some sense.
Yeah,
so youth soccer awesome. Player played everything growing up, but soccer was really what I was passionate about, what God had blessed me with. And I started using drugs and alcohol at a really young age. So by the time I was 16, I was literally going to end up dead or in jail if my parents didn't intervene. The interesting fact about that is the my mom will say the straw that broke the camel's back for them determining that they had to intervene in my life was when I told her I wanted to quit playing soccer. She knew that something was wrong. So just, you know, God has redeemed soccer in my life, and I'm just so thankful for it, man.
That's awesome.
It's amazing.
When you think back, let's start it. And, you know, you mentioned kind of in your youth journey being the twins, talked about some of those memories were not, probably not just on the soccer field, right? Any specific moments that you can, like, you go back to maybe with guys you used to play with or anything and go, like, that was an awesome moment or that was a great memory. And it could have been something that was probably inappropriate at the time or something, but any thoughts on that?
Oh yeah, way too many to count. I'll actually never forget driving to a soccer tournament with my dad and ate a whole thing of Tic Tacs. And I don't think you're supposed to do that. And I had, my stomach was like really upset the next day. So I had to miss the first game because I was having bathroom issues.
With Tic Tacs.
Yeah. I mean, going to Carowinds, going to like Busch Gardens, like going to, you know, tournaments in Wrightsville and walking to the beach stores with your friends and you see the other team that you hate, you kind of like, you know, what are we going to do? We're going to square off. one of the most impactful memories in my life is I was 13 and I just played at the Charleston Shootout. And my dad tells, I love hearing my dad tell the story, but we won the tournament and I scored 16 of our team's 18 goals and I got the tournament MVP. And my dad, on Monday, he took all, I have an older brother and younger sister, he took us to school, and he dropped my brother and my sister off, and he told me to stay in the car, and he spent the day with me, and he took me out to lunch, and this was the moment where my dad, like, realized that God had really blessed me, and I was special in soccer, and so he said he took me out to a Greek restaurant in Winston, and he said, Wells, you have a gift, God has really blessed you with a gift to play soccer. And you can use that gift to serve yourself or you can use that gift to serve other people and to serve God. Mm. My hope is that you'll do the latter. You use that gift to serve other people and serve God, but the choice will be yours. Mm. And I just love sharing that because those are the kind of parents that I have and had as a youth athlete. Like, my parents were the best. They never put pressure on me. As much as I personally have dealt with soccer being my identity, my parents never made me feel like I had to perform a certain way in order to get their love. And I saw that throughout my career. I saw some really, really, really talented players their love for the game be impacted negatively because of the pressure that their parents put on them. So Jared Sinner, I think his name, or Jonic Sinner, won a tennis tournament the other day, and he said everyone should have my parents, and I'm like, I feel the same way. Every single youth athlete should have my parents.
That's awesome. That's so helpful. You know, we talk at Fusion a lot about just equipping parents in this journey, and I think that in a lot of youth sports, parents are sort of given the Heisman, right, and told, you know, you're over there, we'll take care of the players over here. And that is completely wrong. Parents have a profound impact on the experience that their children have. And we should all be working together to create that great experience. And so I think the problem really becomes is that most parents just don't, they want to help and they want to do the right things. They're just not really sure how to. And I think that hearing examples like you've just shared is really, really helpful for even myself and having now kids going through it, how we can be most supportive. We say be supportive, not obsessive, and ultimately realizing like this is just a part of their kid's overall journey in life, not the end all be all. It's just a part of it. It's like you said, not their identity. And we all get wrapped up in it, don't we? And I think that's the tough part of being a parent. But man, that's so cool to hear about your parents. We probably should have them come talk to our group. I think it'd be really helpful. So that's awesome, man.
Well, yeah, just to reiterate that is like, you know, it's so easy to talk. It is so easy to talk. I've got three young boys, 9, 7, and 5, and they're not me. My oldest is not me at all. And so I've had to eat humble pie over and over and over again. And tell you the truth, it's actually an ongoing challenge for me to take him to the soccer field and just experience that because we're different people, you know, and he wasn't created like I was. And, So, and I've done a lot of very idiotic things that I've probably shamed parents for before I had kids. You know, like, I was an expert at parenting before I had kids. Now I'm just an idiot that's, like, thankful to get through the day.
Yeah, so true.
And my parents maybe not be the best example of that, because although I did go through my own struggles and, you know, had my challenges, never made ODP or anything like that, like, I was a great player and for the most part was one of the best players on the team. And so it was probably a little bit easier for my parents to go and, like, sit and watch the game versus others, you know?
Sure.
And I don't think my mom would ever listen to this podcast, but I'm going to tell a story recently just about what she was going through. Well, she called me the other day and was like, her niece is playing at Fusion, and her niece is 7, and she's on the B team or whatever, the second team. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what you call it.
Yep.
And so my mom's like, well, me and your sister have put a letter together, and we're going to send it to the director. And I was like, Mom, do not do that. Like, is she having fun? Is she having fun? Yeah, she's having awesome. Just don't worry about that. Like, yeah. Let her have fun. Let her grow. Let her enjoy the game. And so there's both sides of it, yeah. For you. You know, yeah. It's easy to fall into that for sure.
Well, we're human, right? I mean, I think that's the thing, is that this is a battle in the mind, and that probably would be a good transition to talk about what you are doing now with Soccer Resilience and the incredible work. I'd love for you to share about Soccer Resilience and about just how that's formed, where things are today, why you're doing what you're doing, and all about it, man. I can't wait to for our families to hear more about that.
Yeah, quick question for you, Scott. What percentage of life and the game stems from the mind? No right or wrong answer, 0 to 100, if you had to put a number on it.
Yeah, I would say it feels to me, my answer would be that the percentage would get higher and higher as I aged through it. Probably wasn't thinking too much about it younger, and as time went on, it became more and more a piece of the game for me. So, I don't know. So I don't know how to answer that question, but
yeah,
scale, I feel like it goes up as it becomes more pressure filled and means something, et cetera, rather than the first time you play, you're like, you're just kicking a ball.
Oh, yeah. That's a very educated response. And I totally agree with it. You know, we've Soccer Resilience has been around for about 3 years. And we've asked probably tens of thousands of people that question since the inception of our business. And, you know, 98.5% of people say 70% or higher. Hmm. And so usually our follow-up question is, well, golly, that's a big number. And the reason I say there is no right or wrong, it really is kind of what you think it is. Yep. But the point of the question is identify it's a big number. So usually our follow-up question is, well, what are you doing to address that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we live in a culture of like 1%, you know, let's get like 1% better. Mm-hmm. Well, what if we actually engage this side of it? And so, you know, it's I love Jesus and I follow Jesus, and I don't believe that we go through things just for ourselves, but for other people. And so it's 2 Corinthians 1:4. And I really struggled as a pro, Scott. I really, really did. So I'll backtrack a little bit on this, but Soccer Resilience for me is turning my pain into purpose. Mm. I was not recruited as a college soccer player, really. I spent from 16 to 18 in a lockdown facility in upstate New York. I walked on to Wake Forest. The only reason I went to Wake was because I knew the coaches. They invited, had no scholarship, just a walk on. And when I was drafted 5th overall 4 years later, they said, Wells, we thought you'd never play a day, you know? So, but I look back on my life and really all the adversity and crap I went through as a kid actually prepared me for when I went to Wake. And I saw the opposite of that at Wake. Guys at Kapner, U.S. youth national team, since they were in diapers, some of them came in and didn't really know how to deal with it. I had a good career as a pro. That's a really big mindset shift for me, because I tend to think of myself as a failure, right? Like, how do you play 9 years professionally and still think you failed? I'm not sure, but I feel that way at times. And so I'm working on that. But I, you know, I dealt with a lot of crap, and I really kind of all attribute it to my thought life. And so as a pro athlete, as a collegiate athlete, we had acupuncturists, needlers, cuppers, masseuses, dietitians, physical therapists, you name it, but not someone who you said, Scott, was a massive portion of life and sport, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the biggest regret of my career. I actually have a journal entry in my last year in the MLS, and it's September, so the offseason's coming up, and the journal entry goes, man, I'm so tired of walking out in that field, being afraid to fail. I miss the fearless Wells Thompson. I know I need to get help for this and see a sports psychologist. I hope I do. And I never did. So like, I'm like, man, not only would I have been a better player, I just would have enjoyed it more, you know? So, you know, I dealt with depression, anxiety. I don't say this lightly, like even suicide ideation, because I wasn't starting. And so everyone we talk to says they wish they had more of this. And we're just trying to do what we feel like everyone should do, is just provide this for the next generation so they don't feel like it. So kind of holistically, is like Nelson Mandela stole my quote, sports the greatest opportunity to change the world. And I truly believe that. And we got started during COVID. Before COVID, we're in a 50, 60, 7-year upswing of anxiety, depression, suicide. COVID's just exacerbated that. People want to learn with the ball at their feet, not necessarily in the classroom. Let's do it through the beautiful game.
Love it. Absolutely. And tell us how specifically are you doing it?
Yeah, we really try. So I think science is sexy. I really do. But we try to marry the unsexy science with kind of the sexy pro athlete. So my business partner, Dr. Brad Miller, he's a clinical psychologist. And he played at Wake and struggled with performance anxiety. He's the original founder. We connected 3 years ago. And we have a bigger team of like 12 to 15. We call them ambassadors. And the majority of them are current and former pros. And we don't just take anyone. These pros understand the mental aspect. They practice it. And they also understand that they have a tremendous platform that they can leverage to give back and to help those, to help other people. So we basically have three services. It's team presentations. And so we tend to focus on players, like when we talk about these things, but we really want to work with the players, the coaches, and the parents to really kind of holistically tie things together. So we have the group training sessions. We have online courses. And then we have one-on-one sessions. So we've really actually, one-on-ones is a very small portion of what we do, but we've had incredible success pairing younger kids with our current pros.
Yeah.
There's just something so powerful about a pro going, me too, you know?
Sure. Well, I think I told you this, I was really fortunate to hear Brianna Pinto speak at a lunch one time, I guess about a month ago. And just, I know she's one of your ambassadors, and she was absolutely fantastic, just so well spoken. And I mean, you know, speaking to a room of, you know, older men, just like the way she delivered her message was powerful. And you can just tell that she's just a fantastic role model for kids and probably adults, I would argue, as well. So that was neat. And then I know you've had Brant Bronico, a former Fusion player, now Charlotte FC, as an ambassador as well. So it's been cool to see those connections, which is really neat. So
you're right about Brianna and adults. I tell you, I'm 40 years old. I don't know how old. She's like 22 or 23. She's about 12,000 times more mature than me. So she is exceptional in every way, and Brian is too. And the cool thing about all these pros is, you know, pros aren't robots. We're human beings, just like you talked about, Scott. And we've all been through a whole lot of crap. And we all still get nervous before games, and we all struggle with our confidence. And so it's just a really powerful message. We try to lead through vulnerability and sharing, and we feel like that's what most people relate to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Man, it's so awesome. I love hearing how you've taken your journey, maybe some quote negatives that have just led to what an incredible impact you're having in a positive way, which is just really inspiring. And I know that so many people are going to have been and will continue to be impacted in a positive way by your journey and your passion. And so just really, really inspiring, really encouraging. I really appreciate you sharing today. I guess my last question would just before we go is just from an NC Fusion perspective, you know, how do you like to stay involved and be connected with us?
Yeah, well, I appreciate you saying that, Scott. You guys are the hands and feet. You know, I think that coaches change the world. And, you know, Billy Graham says more coaches will change, more lives in a year than most people will in a lifetime. I truly believe that. Mm-hmm. And for good and for bad,
sure.
Right?
Yes.
And so the hope is for good.
Yes. Yes.
But you guys and coaches just don't get the respect they deserve. Their jobs are extremely hard and complicated. And so thank you for all the work that you guys are doing in and throughout the community. As to your question, you know, I think that that's a tough one to answer. I think I'd love to be involved more. It's figuring out ways to get involved.
Yeah.
You know, as I said, when I retired, I didn't really care to be involved in soccer.
Yeah, yeah.
And really kind of use my platform. But I've really, God's changed my heart, and I've come to accept that you know, this is what God has blessed me with, and I want to use it and be faithful and share and help. And so, yeah, I'm always open for ways to continue to do that through Fusion and Twins, and which I know now is Fusion. I just you know, whatever. Well,
it's only natural
to say that.
It's the same thing.
I still have my old jerseys, man. Like, I'm saving for my kids, and I wear them from time to time, and I got them on kids' walls, and I would love to help out any way I can.
Awesome, man. Well, truly appreciate it. I mean, even just taking time today to talk to us is super. We're so thankful for you to continue to stay connected with us and our families. And so if people had any questions for you or wanted to check out Soccer Resilience, what's the best way for people to do that?
Yeah, soccerresilience.com. You can find all our information on there. Instagram, LinkedIn. But yeah, if you send a message to Soccer Resilience, I'll get it and I'll answer, and I'd love to connect with you. So go awesome. Fusion.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks, Wells. Really appreciate your time today. I hope you have an awesome weekend.
Thank you, Scott. You too, brother.
All right. See ya.
See ya.
Bye. Thank you for listening to the NC Fusion for Life podcast, sponsored by Atrium Health Wake Forest Baptist. It would mean a lot to us if you would subscribe to our podcast on your favorite streaming platform and share with others. You can also engage with us on the social media platforms of Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. We hope you have enjoyed today's podcast, and we hope that it helps to forward our mission to create intentional experiences through sport to positively impact people for life. Go Fusion!